Welcome back to Star Wars News. We have a lot to talk about. The Rise of Skywalker obviously sparked a lot of discussion and criticism. Finally, the co-writer, Chris Terrio, has opened up and given us some of the answers we've been waiting for, and we have a whole lot of other fun stuff to talk about, so stay right there.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up? We are officially in 2020. I'm so glad to be back in this ship.
So happy to be back, Steph Sabra. 2020!
I'm Steph Sabra, a.k.a. Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, and I'm joined by my co-pilot, the head of Popcorn Talk, Rylo Ren, Ryan Nilsson.
Kylo Ren is here. Rylo Ren is here.
And he did do his Ben Solo challenge. So.
I did the Ben Solo challenge, which we're going to talk about that today. Yeah. It's been a heck of a winter break, but how has your new year been so far?
It's been so good.
Yes.
I've been so into all of the Star Wars discussion. Mm. Even the good, the bad, the ugly, the things I disagree with, it's still really fun, and every time I go on Twitter, there's some new meme or challenge, so I love it.
Right, I just like people talking about Star Wars.
Yeah, me
good,
too.
Good, bad, ugly.
Me too.
Just love it.
So, but I missed you, Rye.
My God.
I did.
I missed you too.
I really did.
I mean, we were sending each other memes all break.
Yeah, we're
and
psycho.
And just calling like, I don't know if I changed my opinion on this. Da, 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 da.
We've each seen the movie 3 times, and now we're so happy because this is our first show back with you all at home where you have seen it. I mean, you've had to have seen it. So if you haven't, we're going to be talking a lot of spoilers this episode because of the article I teased in the beginning that featured Chris Terrio, the co-writer of The Rise of Skywalker. He opened up a lot of the discussion that we've kind of been asking about Rey's parents, Palpatine,
just the decision making,
the creative decision making a lot of people had problems with, and so that will be really fun. And while we talk about that, Ryan and I will intertwine kind of our opinions of where we think things went right, where we think things went wrong.
Right, and hey, share your opinions in the chat. Again, we are live here, Popcorn Talk Network, Thursdays, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So please, I'm in the chat, looking around. A few shout outs, real quick. We got Vito Scuddy in the chat, Darth Baca in the chat.
Woo!
We got Chewbacca's daughter, Darth Baca, Greg Maschadovic, and Manny Gonzalez, always there. Please share your thoughts as we talk about this film and Chris Terrio's explanations.
Hell yeah, you guys rock. On top of that, we will also discuss that one of the authors confirmed that another original trilogy character died in The Rise of Skywalker. Kind of went unnoticed, but when I thought about it, I was like, damn.
Don't make me cry yet. Like, when we get to that, I'm going to have a
Okay. You're going to have a moment? All right. That's fine. Then after that, we will.
RIP. You're like, dang.
We will talk about the High Republic films will reportedly be featuring young Yoda and Darth Bane. Ryan will give us all the info on that. And then we. A really cool feel good story. Adam Driver thanks his fans for raising money for one of the foundations that he started. So that is awesome. It's such a beautiful part about the fandom. That is it at its best. And then Billy Lord played Leia in that flashback scene that we got in Rise of Skywalker.
Amazing.
Which I feel like I should have known that.
Right.
It looked so good though, I didn't question it, but it makes sense.
Absolutely. By the way, spoilers for Rise of Skywalker. I know you're probably watching this. You
would
have
seen
it. We said
it in the beginning.
We did say it again, but yeah, we're going to be diving deep into these comments. But
slay us.
This article came out yesterday, Steph.
About
Chris Terrio. This was an interview that happened, and every site is picking it up.
Yeah.
Every site's running with it.
Yeah, let's get into it. And then we have some fun social media, and then we have words of wisdom to close it off. But let's go right into it. This article, Ryan, found me yesterday. He's like, did you see it? What was your initial thoughts of this article?
Well, what I will say is the social media reaction was really picky. As it always is with Star Wars. You never know. You have to read it all, folks.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty big article. This is the co-writer of the movie. So you're hearing it from the horse's mouth. You're listening to all the explanations to why they made certain decisions. And a lot of decisions were made. A lot of people were pretty mad at his comments about the Rey's parentage. However, my main takeaway was a lot of what he said in this interview actually gave me a positive reaffirmation of the film. It made me feel a little bit more comfortable with some decisions that I was a little on the fence with and haven't really made up my mind, even seeing it multiple times. But there is one detail, one quote of his that did not sit great with me. But for the majority, it made me feel good about the movie and great about their decision making.
I agree. I think that, and I'm curious to know what quote you're talking about. I think I know, but I thought that some of my problems of the film lied in the uncertainty of whether or not they had a plan.
Right.
And when you're talking about the biggest franchise ever, if you don't have a plan, what are you doing, bro?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
And I mean, I think I saw from this article, so Chris Terrio, there's IndieWire breaks it down really well, topic by topic, like Rey's parentage, bringing the Emperor back.
That's kind of how I want to break it down and get all your opinions.
All that stuff. And then also the Rey Kylo relationship.
Yeah.
Just all these unique elements in the storyline. I thought it was really interesting when he said, you know, in the prequel trilogy, you have Anakin Skywalker seduced to the dark side. The original trilogy, it's kind of Anakin being turned back to the light and bringing balance to the Force by throwing the Emperor down a ventilation shaft. And he goes on to say in this article that every generation has to bring balance in some way.
Yes.
Every generation is going to have its own threat, and they have to bring balance in their own way. Mm-hmm. If the original trilogy was Luke, Han, Leia bringing balance to theirs, what is Rey, Finn, and Poe's bringing balance? And I thought it was very interesting that the angle they took was, what if your protagonist was directly related, granddaughter, by blood to the most evil force? What if that? And does the bloodline even matter?
Because
people are mad, you know, that, oh, you have to be related to someone to have the force. But what was kind of interesting that this movie was saying, what Chris Terrio was articulating in this article, was that, yeah, maybe some people are related by blood to have the force, but you don't have to live up to that family legacy. You can kind of choose your own path. And I found that to be really interesting.
Me too. I agree, because I know it could have gone one or two ways, and I don't know if I would have preferred her having no lineage.
Right.
I totally see that being cool, because everyone wants to be a Jedi, and you want to know that you could be a Jedi without having, like, the Pope as your dad, whatever. But I respect that. But let's start with the first section, the opening crawl.
Because
as soon as it came out, when we first saw it, we were like, oh, that's how they're starting
it.
The dead speak. And so I pulled some interesting quotes for each of these sections. And one for this was, he said, "We debated and debated what the crawl would say, and we wanted to have the word revenge in the crawl, a message of revenge in the voice of the late Galactic Emperor Palpatine. We also wanted the line, 'The dead speak.'" So it's interesting to hear what was really forced, what they needed to have.
Right.
I'm curious your thoughts. Did you like the crawl, and did you like those specific lines?
The crawl was definitely set the tone for what you're in for, at least for me. So I was more accepting, like, all right, we're going on this path. They're setting this up from the get. I think what he also said in the article was that in The Last Jedi, there's that line of dialogue that's basically, you know, let the past die. But now it's like, now the dead speak.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting rebuttal to that. I don't think it's so much rewriting it all, but it's saying it's a continuation of that. Yeah, let the past die, but guess what? The dead can also speak. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always going to come back, almost like a zombie in a way, which I felt the Emperor kind of was in this movie. So yeah, I think that set the tone. They really weren't messing around. They're going right to the point with that crawl. And it's not my favorite crawl.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, exposition heavy, which is the point of the crawl. Just this one a lot more than the others.
Yeah, and there was a part that compared the opening crawl to A New Hope. Because when we have A New Hope, but it's totally different to me, because you are setting up an entire new thing. So obviously it's diving you into something really deep, really fast, because they have to. This, you don't really have that excuse. But I see where they were pulling that inspiration from. I didn't hate the crawl, but it also was, you already knew you were going to get hit with exposition
right.
in the beginning.
Like, here we go.
Yeah.
Buckle up,
like,
with the exposition.
Please explain yourself, because I'm already confused.
The dead speak. What?
Like, what?
I think the dead do speak in this movie.
Were you also say, it's kind of a bold choice to exclamation point to the dead speak.
They do that a lot, though. I will say that, but I agree.
Yeah, crash! It's another one.
Right off the top, it's like, ooh, coming in hot. Not only do the dead speak,
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
They speak.
I also want to take a moment to shade our producer, Jeff Graham. That's the voice you just heard in the booth. He has, in fact, had weeks to see the movie and has not. So
I'm in trouble. I'm going to watch it. I will say, though, I'm committed to watching Mando. That's something I promise you guys I will do before the end of January.
Before the end of January. Got it.
That's good enough.
Sweet. Thank you, Jeff.
You got it. I can't wait.
Keep us up to date on that.
Yes.
Let's talk about a lot of the criticism from The Last Jedi was the character development, or not really development, with the three main characters being Rey, Poe, and Finn.
Yes.
And I kind of wanted to dive into each of these characters, where they left off in The Last Jedi and what we see in The Rise of Skywalker. And Terrio actually called them gifts to build on in when he was speaking about the characters, and that Johnson offered wonderful possibilities. That was funny to me because I actually feel like it was the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, how passive to say, oh, here are the gifts this movie brought. It's not that that's inferred. It's like, yeah, because everything else was coal, bud. Like, you had to really highlight it with, these were the gifts of that movie, because we all know it was awful. Like, I don't think everyone was on the same page with that, as we heard from, you know, a lot of the fan reaction, but... Yes, he said gifts to build on, and to be fair, a lot of the things that people were criticizing, I did think were a natural progression for the story. You know, for Luke to say, I was wrong, people were like, oh, wow, that's him throwing shade at The Last Jedi. That was Luke's arc in The Last Jedi.
I agree.
He found out he was wrong.
Yeah,
so
we forget that final scene where Luke is... the best Luke we see. We talk about this. It's our favorite Luke moment, we think, when he faces Kylo.
Totally.
And is force projecting. So
becomes a legend.
Yeah.
It's great.
So let's get into Poe. So in The Last Jedi, we get him defying orders, really wanting to be a leader, and kind of being really annoying. But still, I mean, but that's kind of the Han Solo arc, too. He can be really annoying, but you love him at the same time. And then we get him in The Rise of Skywalker really respecting Leia. He's always had a deep respect for Leia, which I love, and wanting to be able to fill her shoes, obviously, when he needed to, when she was no longer in that leadership position. I loved Poe's character arc in The Rise of Skywalker.
Definitely. This might be the best Poe for all three movies. Mm-hmm. And even at the end of the movie, he becomes a general and even asks Finn for help. Like, can you co-general with me? Thank you. I respect that. Like,
growth,
pretty great.
Hashtag. Growth.
Yeah, I love that because you're right. He was sort of he had this Han Solo side to him. And we even got that backstory in this movie where, hey, we meet up with one of his past.
Spice Runner.
Yeah, Spice Runner. So I think, he had this Han Solo archetype to him, but he became Leia. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
So he's General Leia by the end.
Yeah. I love Poe. And I have the hottest take on Poe, that if we're going pilot for pilot.
Oh, gosh.
I'm picking Poe over Han Solo. Sorry.
Okay. What else did Terrio write about?
Okay. I know a lot of women feel that way. Just by the way, women Star Wars fans.
I'm sure they do.
Okay. Moving on, let's talk about Rey and Kylo as a dyad, but also as individuals. The Last Jedi did a wonder. I think my favorite part about The Last Jedi was the relationship between Rey and Kylo, and the depth of it, and the ability to be able to speak to each other and kind of pose the question to ourselves on how connected they are, how much of it's manipulated. And I thought that their arc was really great. I don't love the ending of The Rise of Skywalker with them, but I do love everything except that.
Yeah, I agree. I think what I loved in Last Jedi was, they were bound by Snoke. Snoke was, in a way, combining their minds, or melding their minds, mm-hmm. so that he could get them there. But in the end, when he's kind of duped, now they have this connection, and they're both going down different paths. Which I did expect them to do something a little different in this movie than what we got, but I really did love the transformation for Kylo, and they made their own choices with Rey. I think what really bothered me in this movie was that whole dialogue. I'm like, you're the dyad in the Force. Like, I thought you're the one. If the Emperor was actually the one who was Snoke the whole time, didn't you actually combine them? Like, didn't you meld their minds?
Yeah.
I'm lost with this dyad thing. That sounds like a Words with Friends word that you just happen upon. Like, you're just throwing letters together. I don't know what that is.
Terrio did say, what we wanted to say is that there's something deeper there, and leave it to debate about it, at which point they become this dyad in the Force, where they were really two or were they one, whether that was a mistake that Palpatine made by bridging them and therefore creating this thing.
But he sounded like he was surprised that you're a dyad. Fingers are healing. I was a little lost on that. I don't think that that came across the way.
When I rethink about that scene, I get pissed.
You get a little mad?
I get a little heated. That part, the dyad, and then his fingers growing back.
Remember when he got hit? He's like, ugh.
We'll get into Palpatine.
We'll get into him.
But I thought Ben Solo's character arc was phenomenal. I thought bringing Han back in that scene on the ship was so emotional. What? Who's ruining an emotional moment for me?
I've just seen Brett Nilsson in the chat giving a... So was... He's asking about Finn and being a Jedi. People saying Rose is... Oh, yeah, dyad. What's
a
dyad?
We're definitely getting into Rose and Finn, trust.
We'll get into that. A lot of people just asking what a dyad is. They're saying it's a duo. Ivan Soto in the chat. Yeah, I think they're all as confused as we are.
Yeah, like what it is.
What it is.
I think it's playing off the idea that when there's someone in the Force who rises in the light side, someone will rise in the dark. And we knew that with Rey, that there was Ben, Kylo, and that's why she rose at his rise. Yeah.
It just sounded like he was so caught off guard by it.
Yeah.
By the power, by the connection. And I think what this article articulated to me was... They had a plan in mind. I just don't think it was conveyed the best way possible. I don't think it worked out too well.
Yeah. McClunky. It was McClunky. I did love that he talks about that saber pass. That was the thing that we were dying to do, because first of all, to see Ben Solo holding a Skywalker saber was a really important thing for us. But second, to say that this connection that the two of them have is going to be the thing that saves the galaxy was super important. I love the saber pass. I know some people had issues with it, but it made sense from the buildup of The Last Jedi to hear that that could be possible.
Yeah, love it. She repaired it at the beginning of the movie, which was also in its own way kind of some shade of The Last Jedi. I fixed what you just broke.
I saw it explode.
It did explode.
It exploded.
It was like the crystal was cut in half, people. It was cut in half.
Okay.
You don't just glue it back to...
No, you don't. But
maybe you do, though.
I do want to take a good chunk to talk about Rey, because on our... other show, not our show, but Popcorn Talk's other
action
show.
Movie Anatomy.
Yeah, Ben Bateman brought a really good... His thesis was so awesome, and I completely agree with it. He said, Rey is the best Jedi of all time. I think, absolutely. I just adore her. I think she's so badass. I love everything, her physicality that she brings to the role, her emotion. She's such a phenomenal actress. And I think that she's the opposite of a Mary Sue. She was a scavenger and had to fight for everything that she got. So it makes sense that she is so well equipped to be in this position. And it made sense that her struggle with the dark and then coming to the light. I didn't think... I was never the one that thought Rey could go dark. I really didn't. Every line that we've had of her was different from what we saw with Anakin. There was no connection to the dark like that.
Yeah, it's a great thesis from Ben Bateman. And tying you into what Terrio wrote about just Rey as a character, I agree. I mean, she is a character who was naturally good. And I think even in the article, he says the first thing we see her do on screen is an act of kindness. Mm-hmm. She helps BB-8. She protects him. I'm hearing some breathing. but she protects him. And
where?
I don't know. Maybe it was in the studio. I think it might have been a Force ghost. Huh. But and that, you know, just her being related to the Emperor wasn't immediately setting her path. So I think that is a really unique concept, in that she is the best Jedi in a way, because she brings all the other Force Ghost Jedi together to back her. She chooses her own path. So I think it's a great thesis. I don't know if she's my favorite character as a Jedi, but she might be very well be the most powerful Jedi.
Most powerful. And then as we wrap this storyline, we have to talk about the Romeo and Juliet moment. What are your thoughts?
The kiss.
Yes.
The kiss. Yeah. You know, okay. He brought her back to life. There was some tension the whole trilogy. You know, in the moment, I was buying it. But I think it came off comedic when he just dropped dead right after. And I just don't know. It was having your cake and eating it too, you know? I would rather have him kissed her, and then he has to serve this life of, I'm now giving back. I'm paying back for all the horrible things I've did. But instead, it was like, I kissed you, and now I'm dead, and my body just disappeared along with Leia's. So it came off a little comedic to me. Again, it felt like having your cake and eating it, too. What did you think?
Yeah. I've never been a Reylo fan. I didn't hate it in the theater, but I did not like it. I understand, though. Well, I haven't been in this life-threatening situation, but let's say I was. Things are really heated. You had this weird connection with this person for a long time now. You saved the entire galaxy. I might just give you a kiss. Right.
Yeah,
McClunky. I can see that. McClunky.
Forget it.
Do I buy that she's in love with him? No.
Right.
I think that it was like a, let's just do this.
You just saved my, you just brought me back to life.
Yeah, like I'm so emotional. Just give me those lips, boy.
Right, I can't even say anything. I think, you know, it was satisfying all the Reylo fans. And then it was also satisfying all the fans that wanted to see Kylo dead. Again, I just think they were doing it all. They're just putting it all out there. There it is. The passion.
Okay, let's close this off with Finn and Rose. Let's get into Finn. So Finn is one of my favorite new characters, period. I adore him. I adore Boyega as an actor in general, and I loved his character arc in this film. We got three teases of him trying to tell Rey something. Fans speculated that it was him saying he was in love. He later tweeted that he was, in fact, it wasn't that he was going to say, I love you. And so I guess we're safe to assume he's force sensitive, which they were also teasing at that multiple times. And I've always thought that since The Force Awakens.
Yeah, we even have people in the chat commenting on this. They're asking if there's going to be a Finn spinoff investigating what he may or may not have told her.
And we're calling that a spinoff, just a so spin-off. You know.
Yeah, and I think I was expecting it to be, I love you the whole time.
Me
but
too.
What JJ said, and I think Terrio in this article, was that I'm force sensitive.
Yeah.
And JJ even came out and said, oh, yeah, I cut a scene that I think answered that. It just, I'm like, how did you?
Because I actually was upset by that. That just seems stupid to me. Yeah, it's awkward.
It's really awkward. And if the answer was indeed I'm force sensitive, which they do allude to, it still doesn't play well in those other scenes where he's like, I need to tell you something. Because, and as people in the chat are saying, when they're getting sucked into that quicksand, why were you going to tell her I'm force sensitive?
Yeah.
You're telling someone I love you. You think you're about to die.
Yeah. Always thought they were supposed to be the ones together. I don't think that their romance should have been any part of the story, but I think it should have been alluded to, like, they have a deep love. They don't act on it until the galaxy is saved, but that's who I ship if I'm going to ship anyone. Okay, let's talk about someone who got shipped off the script.
Oh my goodness, people. I wish we sent in that clip because we did a video.
Yeah, we did.
Y'all.
Rose Tico.
Is invisible in this movie.
What was it? A minute and 30 seconds?
A minute 36 seconds.
Of airtime.
Rose Tico is on the poster, people. She's on the poster. A minute 36.
She was one of the leading cast members of The Last Jedi. And then we're all going to save the galaxy, Rose. You want to come?
Yo, you coming? Nah, man. I'm cleaning the filing cabinet for Leia. Like, look, Chris Terrio, JJ, I love y'all. Argo's dope. JJ Abrams, I'm your biggest stan. What was that,
what
man?
What was that?
What was that?
What
She's
was
literally
that?
A ship technician.
Yeah.
In the whole movie, they have problems with the Millennium Falcon not starting up or not landing. She's the perfect person to go on the mission.
It's crazy.
Leia's having me research all these intergalactic ships, which, by the way, we're not going to need
we
that
We don't
research,
need that so. Information at all. Because why would you? It makes no sense.
Not great.
It's not great, and it's not great optic-wise. It's not great story-wise, because you had her so... such a major... what? Tell me.
Sorry. It sucks optic-wise. People are just saying... some people never liked Rose. Some people think she's just invisible. That's all they'll say. So sad. We got Vito saying she must have been on another transport, which is a whole nother bag. I don't even want to
We'll stay away from that one. Yeah. You know what we're talking about.
But yeah, it's not good.
Here's the thing, and I've said this to Rai over and over again, and I think we both feel the same way, especially for me. As an Asian American woman, seeing her, Kelly Marie Tran, casted in Star Wars was incredible. I think she is such a big talent. I cannot wait to see what she does. I thought her writing in The Last Jedi was horrible. I thought it was almost... like into a place where you can't come back from, but I still think that they should have made her have more lines and do something else than what she did in The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. I think it would have been one thing to kind of move her character to the side, but a minute 36 seconds. Like, Dominic Monaghan from the Lord of the Rings trilogy and from The Lost is like an extra in this movie. I think he has more lines than Rose. He's like, what about the Holdo maneuvers? Like, that's more lines than Rose had in this movie.
And then also...
Finn's like, yo, sup? Like, they kissed last movie. Sup?
Sup?
How you doing?
He bro'd her. Even after saving the galaxy, whatever.
Yikes.
Okay, let's just talk about Palpatine because we have to go.
Shout
a little
out to
bit
Brandon
faster.
Hannah in the chat. I don't really understand what they did with Rose. She should have gone on the mission. Yeah, we agree.
Yeah,
Palpatine.
We agree.
Palpatine.
So let's talk about Palpatine. Obviously, this has been a lot of people's issue with the movie. And I do want to read a quote from Terrio. He said, as JJ said, that it would almost be weird for Palpatine not to be in some way in this movie, because when we discover Rey, she's literally living in the wreck of the old war, the previous war that literally the landscape of Jakku is scarred with, evidence of the war that came before. I think what we wanted to say in this is that war never really ended. Yes, there was the victory of the greatest generation, the revolutionary generation, and that was a real victory and balance was achieved for the time. But like Ryan said, every generation needs to rebalance. So,
right.
And he brought up that quote about Anakin. I think he could have been in the film in some way, but this is where I think they should have, and he quoted this too, that we could have had an entirely new movie before this movie to explain how the hell Palpatine returned with the most powerful amount of ships and all the Sith Lords around him.
Right. And yeah, it's that minutia that makes you like, whoa, what is going on here? Interestingly enough, when we're watching the movie, and like back to the crawl, since they just established it from the very beginning, I kind of rolled with it. Upon rewatch, I was a little bit more rolling my eyes. But, you know, what's interesting to hear him talk about in this is, though, like, he's always that guy in the background. He's that shadowy figure. I'm more like Rey being related to Palpatine than the way they included him in this film, in that he was a little bit more cartoonish. It felt like a last resort. It felt like a panic button. But what he says and how he is used in this movie for Rey being related to him, that's... I think that works for what they were going for. It doesn't complete the marathon.
Yeah, I don't think you can have the fact that she is a Palpatine and that he is being like escorted. I don't know how to. He's like on a strap.
It's just
being like moved
it's
around.
It's like a puppet, really.
Yeah, he's like a circus performer.
Right.
And there's no explanation of that. I think it could have been just as powerful of him being like a force ghost and somehow being able to bring the life back in him. Or I don't know. That would have been.
It opens up a whole can of worms. Like, did Darth Vader even actually kill him? Was balance even established? It's a lot of questions. And I did like what he had to say about, man, like having Rey being related to him, and now she has to pick her own path. And, you know, we can always go back to, now anyone can't be a Jedi. Like, the point in Last Jedi still remains the same. You still have Broom Kid at the end. It's not as effective when it's not your lead character, but that point still remains the same. Like, anyone can be a Jedi. Anyone can be a hero. It's just... this is the path they went.
I agree. I just think that there needed to be more explanation, and I would have been fine with almost anything that they did.
Yeah, the ships that blow up planets. I'm like, what are we doing?
Okay, the final scene has caused a lot of memes.
Yes.
And
memes.
It is so funny. Obviously, this is where Rey ends up in Tatooine. Oh, she's with BB-8. And she is, and it made sense that she was here because this was the beginning of so much of the franchise. And he... Chris said, I don't think we think of it as she's going to live there. We thought of it as she's just paying her respects. And he said that they were very deliberate in the way that they wrapped the sabers, like you were wrapping infants. He said that's a thing that you see at the end of the third movie where the two infants are wrapped and one is sent to Tatooine to be a farmer. This is so funny when I think about it. And one is sent to Alderaan to be a princess. That sucks to be you, Luke. Leia's home doesn't exist anymore, so we thought, well, Luke could take Leia to his home where he grew up and where we first saw Star Wars. Rey Skywalker.
Rey. It's been so long. Who are you? Rey who?
Everyone wants to know her last name in this movie, by the way. Like, even when they're on that dancing planet where Lando's at,
yeah.
They're like, what's your name? Rey who? Like, you're kind of pushy. How about just, like, leave me alone? Like, I don't know who you are either.
You don't know me.
Like, I don't think they ask any other character. Yeah. Like, no one asks Lando. Lando who? No one asks Poe who? I mean, they never say it, but everyone wants to know her last name. And Rey Skywalker.
I'm okay with that being alluded to, but when it happened, I thought it was a powerful moment.
It was really powerful. It's a beautiful moment.
Ben should have been there, though, too, I think.
Maybe. He killed a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, but we're going to have Anakin?
I mean, he wasn't there.
I know, but I'm talking about in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did see him.
Anakin's by far the worst.
You know, that's true. He did just, like, throw the Emperor down the ventilation shaft, so I think people are like, alright, you know, like, I think that was pretty good. Like, you saved a lot more people maybe in the long run, but apparently not, because they have, like, he's back. But you raise a great point.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, let's wrap that up. Yeah. Anyways, always curious to know what you at home thought of the movie, what you thought went right, what you thought went wrong. Moving on, let's talk about the Star Wars author confirming about... Do you want to go in on this? I know you felt some type of way about the death.
We're about to hit a nerve. A nerve with me here, because y'all... And by the way, loving all the comments right here with people talking about Palpatine. But guys, at the end of Return of the Jedi, original trilogy, you know, it wasn't just Luke that was, you know, bringing Darth Vader back to the light. It wasn't just Han and Leia on Endor taking out the shield generator. And it wasn't just Lando piloting the Millennium Falcon. He had a co-pilot named Neenub. And they destroyed the second Death Star. Hero. Should have got a medal.
War hero.
Dies off screen in this movie. R.I.P. Dies off screen. We have a Star Wars author saying, yeah, he died in Rise of Skywalker. Like, we saw J.J. Abrams' roommate die in Rise of Skywalker. I forget the actor's name, but he's in, like, all the movies. And I think he crash lands in Poe's like, no!
Yeah.
Neenub dies in this film. And we got no scene. Man, they did the alien characters from the original trilogy kind of dirty.
Yeah, they did.
Like, I'm just saying, everyone, like, not, no one, no respect whatsoever.
General Ackbar got blown
Admiral
up.
Ackbar Admiral turned Ackbar. General just gets blown out of a window. Like, man.
Yeah.
Neenub's dead, guys.
The author is Rey Carson.
He's dead.
She tweeted to confirm that if you, upon closer review, if you look really hard, you might be able to see it. I don't know if I believe that. Look at Rye.
What?
Everyone send Rye some positive thoughts. This is a tough time for him.
Ryan, are you glad you know that Neenub is dead, or would you rather
have... How'd they not show it? Like, that's so disrespectful. This guy destroyed the second Death Star, and he died off screen.
Crazy.
In a movie that we just watched. Like, they couldn't show us. At least we saw Ackbar get pulled into space.
Yeah, we saw it.
But, man.
Yeah. Like, just don't die then. Right? Yeah. Keep him alive.
Keep him alive.
It was probably one of the cuts that JJ just forgot to put into the movie.
Yeah, Ackbar's dead. Ivan Soto, Ackbar died? Yeah, Ackbar's dead. He's dead. Sorry, man. He's dead.
Some good news. Adam Driver is one of the most loved characters. People love Adam Driver. I think that he turned a lot of non-Star Wars fans into Star Wars fans because of his portrayal as Ben Solo. So he is a lovable guy, even though he barely speaks. He kind of has like a Keanu Reeves feel.
Yeah, I think... You know, and I love Keanu Reeves, but I think Keanu Reeves is great with some physical acting. It's like choreography, action. He really sells that. He has this kind of niche audience, whereas I think Adam Driver, he can do
personality wise.
He's at drama, comedy, everything.
So a group of Adam Driver fans began to donate to a GoFundMe, with all the proceeds going towards the organization Driver founded, Arts in the Armed Forces. And they quoted Adam Driver's GoFundMe. They said, Adam Driver's portrayal of Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, has been one of the greatest things to ever happen in the last three movies of the Star Wars saga. As a way of showing gratitude and appreciation for his hard work, and because we believe in the mission, using arts as a tool to more fully understand ourselves and heal, we have decided to set up this fundraiser. And they've raised almost more than $57,000. And Driver shared a video of himself thanking the fans, and it was so cute.
Like, very moved.
Yeah.
And, you know, he does a lot of late night interviews. He does a ton of press, but it's rare to see him really come out like this and actually genuinely thank people. I think this is the really good side of fandom. Whether you like the new movies or not, you know, you're going to support this cause because you know Adam Driver and his association with Star Wars, he's also a veteran himself. So it's a really awesome story. And I mean, that's a lot of money.
It is. And
you can see he's like so genuinely thankful in that video. It's
and
great.
He didn't have to ask for it. People just did it, which is amazing. All right, let's talk about Billie Lourd. She played Leia in that flashback scene, and it was we thought that they were just going to have to take old takes of what they had, which they did do, and I thought they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
But this scene where we see Leia getting her Jedi training, which is one of the things that I think The Rise of Skywalker absolutely slayed, was Leia's entire arc. I thought it was such a great thing to be able to see her in Jedi training and being Rey's master. That was so awesome for me.
So cool.
Yeah.
First line to Leia in this movie is, thank you, master, or like, hello, master. Yeah, that's such a classy move on JJ's part. Again, I think the way they handled Leia in this movie was the best that they could have. I think it's still kind of odd to me that they announced, like, we're not using any old footage, we're using just footage we have, and just setting that precedent. I think they kind of could have just done their own thing. But yeah, using her daughter to stand in for the motion capture of the final scene, that's really cool.
Jeff Graham just said that he's crying because it's so moving. It really is. I'm glad. Really, maybe that will make you watch the movie, Jeff.
Well, that's one thing I will say. This is bad, but I've only seen the first of the last trilogy. But the way that the films pay homage and honor the OGs is really cool. That's one thing that is really neat about this trilogy.
Unless you're Neen Nub.
Unless you're Neen Nub. Well said, Ryan.
Also, that just reminded me of the way that they pay homage. I am going to butcher this, but there was a hero in college. His name is Riley, I believe. There was a shooter on campus, and he actually protected everyone from getting shot. Only one person was killed other than him because he sacrificed himself, and the shooter was able to get taken down. He was a massive Star Wars fan, and they actually made him a character in this movie.
Wow.
Yes, they made him a Jedi.
I didn't know that.
In the Star Wars wiki, is everything, and it's in the books that's going to come out. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's really incredible.
That's
amazing. Get more of the details. I'll put the link in the
description.
Yeah, in our summary.
Wow.
But let's talk about some TV news. Jon Favreau and Taika Waititi. The finale of The Mandalorian was so freaking good.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, the future of Star Wars going in this direction.
Yeah.
Incredible. Taika directed it. Absolutely. Yeah, they know Baby Yoda's real name.
Do you think it's Nigel? I thought that was a joke.
He tweeted that. I don't think it's Nigel. I think it's going to be two syllables like Yoda. We can speculate on names. But the thing is, I mean, what's interesting about this is that he actually has a real name, which means he did come from somewhere where they named him, which that wasn't confirmed before. This was kind of just, it was all up in the air. We didn't even know that from the Mandalorian finale. So he has a name.
Yeah.
And it's not Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But we're all still going to call him that. And they can maybe really stretch that out for a few seasons. But I think it's going to be so interesting to see where they go to investigate where he's from. I could not have been more satisfied with Mandalorian.
Me too. And then the hashtag Ben Solo challenge that you participated in.
I did. Y'all, did you? So you saw this.
Yes.
You saw this on Twitter.
Yes.
Rise of Skywalker, you know, there's a moment where Rey hands off a lightsaber to Kylo Ren, but it's through the Force, and he takes something out from behind his back. So this was going around on Twitter. This was trending. Hashtag Ben Solo Challenge. And I actually put together a compilation of all the best Ben Solo challenges. So we can just have them up on the screen. We'll kind of give some commentary. Jeff can put them up. So yeah, this is more, you know, classic what happened in the movie. And then he gives the look like Han Solo. Oh, we got a Mountain Dew right here. Love that. Yeah, and he gives the shrug, the Han Solo shrug. This one's pretty solid. Shout out to Marvel Movie News, Thursdays 1 p.m. This is probably the best. A whole, that's like a 3 foot. That is just
icon.
Red. Oh, who's that?
Oh, who is that? You just decided to change it.
This guy really took it seriously. Red Room, by the way. And it's a fly swatter. Kind of an odd one. This one's pretty epic. A whole Ben Solo behind her. She maybe wins the challenge and has some trouble there. This is probably the cutest. This is the last one. Lightsaber is bigger than him. Aww. Oh, the shrug! That is the winner right there.
Winner!
Absolute winner. So if any of y'all participate in the Ben Solo Challenge, tweet at Steph and I and Popcorn Talk, and we will retweet y'all.
Yes. All right. Well, that closes us off for the week.
It closes us off.
Ryan, do you have some words of wisdom for us?
Yes, I mean, let it be. I'm still getting used to that sound drop. No rumors. This is just wisdom. I think the words of wisdom are going to be from Leia in Rise
Strike
of Sky.
Me.
Strike me down. And I will never. Yeah.
Yeah. So words of wisdom.
I think it's never underestimate a droid.
Oh!
And we're never going to underestimate any of you viewers. So please give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We are on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Yes, Star Wars news. And please have an awesome week. Don't underestimate any droids in your life. Steph.
Thank you, Rye. Thank you for joining us. Again, we will be back next week. Until next time, I'm Steph Sobral. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sobral. Ryan, where can we find you?
I'm Ryan Nilsen. You can find me at Rye, R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N, Ryan Nilsen on Twitter and Ryan Nilsen _ on Instagram. May the Force be with you.
Chewie, get us out of here!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.